Motivation or generation of the right attitude of the mind. Firstly, we think I myself, so that I myself means the practitioner itself. And in the motivational thinking, one generates the attitude that I will remove the sufferings of all the aged mother sentient beings. So all the aged mother sentient beings means all the sentient beings apart from oneself, and those sentient beings are countless, infinite, like the extent of the space, and all of them have been once mother, therefore they are all greatly kind. So all these aged mother sentient beings at the moment, they haven't got any lamas or teachers who show the Dharma spiritual path to them. Therefore, because of not having teachers, they are very much in a what I call situation where they don't know what to practice and what not to practice. And they're at the moment like a blind person who is without the eye of wisdom. And that's how desperate, in a very destitute state of condition, all these aged mother sentient beings are. And because of not understanding the spiritual path, at the moment all these aged mother or sentient beings, they are very much wandering in the state of bad migrations, normally called the bad rebirths. So they are in the bad rebirths and they are very much being tormented by intense sufferings. Therefore, such is the what I call very critical situations of these mother sentient beings. Whereas our situation is that we have at least got lamas or teachers who shows us the spiritual path, and also we have all the positive factors complete with us. Therefore, for us it is possible that we got all the resources to help all these kind, old, aged mother sentient beings. And because this being the situation with us, that we have all the good what are called positive factors, because of this situation, if in this present situation, if we tend to neglect the welfare of other sentient beings, then it's very ill-mannered way of doing things. And that sort of attitude is very looked down upon in the right perspective of our spiritual path. Therefore, because our situation is that, and because that is the what we call fouls in not taking care of sentient beings, therefore now is the time that we should take care of other sentient beings. And for us, because of this situation, it is appropriate that we should work for the welfare of other sentient beings. And because this situation is quite good in the sense of having all the factors complete, it's also appropriate that all other sentient beings should put their full trust and they should rely on you. So how, because these two are the points, then how should one actually do the one should actually work towards other sentient being, and that working toward other sentient being has to be by placing all these sentient being to the ultimate excellent happiness, free of all suffering. Let's say in an example where there is a mother who is blind and completely helpless, and there is occasion, let's say, that blind mother is about to jump into deep abyss or deep valley. So in that case, if the mother's son doesn't take care of the mother in trying to avoid her jumping into the valley, then that son is incredibly bad mannered, and it's a conduct which is to be very much looked down upon. But still, let's say a situation where a blind mother is about to jump into a abyss, and in that situation, if her child or son is very much in a very well-to-do situation, having all the financial comfort, everything. And in that case, if the child doesn't look after the mother, then we would say, comparing the two, we would say the second one is much more, is much worse, and it's much ill-mannered in that sense. And applying that example to the meaning in the context is like we are like the rich, well-to-do son, and all of the sentient beings are that blind, aged mother. So therefore, that being the situation in the context, meaning therefore, we should work towards removing the sufferings of other sentient beings, and we should work towards placing all other sentient beings in the ultimate excellent happiness. And in course of trying to do that, we search out where lies the perfect resource by which one can actually do that. And when we try to search for the perfect resource, then we come to understand that it is only in the state of Buddhahood and a completely enlightened state that one can actually remove other sufferings and place all of the sentient beings to the ultimate excellent happiness. So because that is the ultimate understanding after searching, therefore one makes a strong promise that I must attain the state of Buddhahood to remove the sufferings of other sentient beings and to place all other sentient beings to ultimate happiness. And that making of promise, that thought, that attitude of making promise in that way is what normally is called the bodhicitta, the enlightenment thought. And that attitude is what is required in any kind of practices, and in this context, listening to the teachings of Great Vehicle Path, that is the required intentional motivation in listening to the teaching. And that's how we have to, and in trying to generate that attitude, we meditate for some minutes. So this evening Rinpoche has explained in detail how to transform one's normal attitude to the proper motivation. And of course, in all the teachings in the past, there had been Rinpoche's explanation about how to generate the motivation, but this has been a detailed explanation. So far now, the teaching has covered this, covered at the root text on the point or the line where it says, practice the giving and taking combinedly, both giving and taking combinedly. And this root text is based on the original, lineage of the Lojong thought training in instruction, Geshe Chekhova, and Rinpoche had failed. Rinpoche felt it would be nice if students have a copy distributed of the root text. At the moment, of course, the teachings may not directly require an English root text, but afterward, when it comes to the later part of the teaching, the words are very intact, meaning the words require very precise explanation. And also down there, it will go quick, just skip through. So at that point, Rinpoche thought perhaps you might need. So the root text is at the point, the first page, middle line, train with both giving and taking combinedly. And so far the giving has been finished, and now the explanation will be from taking has been finished, and now the explanation will be on giving. So regarding the giving practice, who is the one who does the giving? It is oneself, the practitioner oneself. And who is the one to whom one does the practice of giving? So that object to whom one does the giving is the all the sentient beings who are infinite as the expanse of the entire space. And what are the things one sends or gives forth? One gives forth. The things one gives forth are our good body, one's body, very good or excellent in form, and one's enjoyment, in literal translation, enjoyment or normally called wealth, and one's source of merits or literally roots of virtues. So regarding the motivation or intentional purpose one sends for or one does the practice of giving, so regarding that, if possible, then one should have the intentional motivation explained at the beginning of session tonight. That's the extensive way of what called doing the intentional motivation for the practice of giving. If one can't do that, then perhaps a short way of holding intentional motivation can be these sentient beings, infinite as sentient beings, and who have been very kind to me. They are at the moment without happiness and causes of happiness, and therefore I will do the practice of giving so that the sentient beings may have happiness and causes of happiness. And regarding happiness and causes of happiness, it has been explained in last teaching that happiness here in the context has reference to happiness of liberation free of samsaric afflictions and sufferings, and causes of happiness means the realizations of the spiritual grounds and the paths. What would be the purpose or benefit of doing the practice of giving? The purpose or benefit would be because normally we don't want suffering, and because we don't want suffering, we have to get rid of the causes of suffering, which are normally called negativities. And if one does the practice of giving, somehow naturally it involves the practice of getting rid of the negativities, therefore one will naturally have no sufferings. And also when one does the practice of giving, somehow one is naturally accumulating a lot of merits, and because happiness is what we want, and because our merits are causes of happiness, therefore somehow just by doing the practice of giving, indirectly we acquire happiness. So regarding the actual practice of giving, when one does the giving of the body, how should it be done? When one does the practice of giving wealth, how should it be done? When one does the work of practice of giving of one's roots of merit, how should it be done? So regarding those three, firstly, the explanation will be about the way how to do the practice of giving of one's body. So regarding the giving of the regarding the practice of giving of the body, the first one is called the general giving of the body, in which as normally we see different kinds of sentient beings, especially those in the what are called those in the animal forms, which are subject to our sight, and who we see in such ugly forms, ugly colors, and very unattractive, very poor, destitute. So that's being this. That's how normally some of what are called sentient beings are, and there are still those down in the hell realms and hungry ghosts. So that's the situation. And now the time when one does the giving of bodies to them, one first starts in visualization, transforming one's body into a wish-granting jain. So before one actually does the transformation, one has to have a strong intentional motivation of love, of thinking that I'm going to provide excellent physical shape, color, body to these sentient beings who haven't got excellent bodies. So with that intention, motivation of love, one transforms one's body into a wish-granting gem, and the time when one exhales, one visualizes or thinks that one is sending forth this wish-granting gem, which actually is one's body.
Thank you.
one thus descending forth along with one's exhaling air, the excellent were called wish-grinding jhana. Of course, it is in nature wish-grinding jhana, where one can visualize it in the aspect of white light. So that white light goes off to all the 10 directions, reaching all the entire sentient beings in the ugly, unattractive forms. And this white light, just at the mere touch, just at the mere touch of the light to the sentient beings, instantly the light carries the power of transforming the sentient beings into very delightful, attractive shapes, physical shapes and body. So at the end, one thinks that now all these sentient beings, because of the touch of the light and transforming, now they have all become sentient beings with perfect human body, complete with the what are called 8 layers and 10 endowments, and complete what are called complete with all the factors for accomplishing or for doing the practice of Dharma, like ourselves, and at the end have a kind of thinking now, they really have attained a good body, a very excellent body. Great Master Bodhisattva Shantideva says in his work, one's body being transformed into wish-grinding jhana and sending forth to whomever, whatever is needed. So this is to be explained as meaning that one does the giving of one's body, and thinking that one does the giving of bodies in a shape, form, color, whatever each of the sentient beings wants to have. So meaning whatever each sentient being likes to have their bodies to be, in that exact in accordance to that one thinks one is sending for that type of body. And also within our bodies, there are whole what are called elements of the 4 basic elements, air, water, fire, and earth. So these 4 elements within our body we can visualize as being transformed into wish-grinding jhanas and being sent forth, or thus the practice of giving these wish-grinding jhanas, which have been transformed aspect of the elements. So think that these are being sent for to the sentient beings, to whatever, to the sentient beings in whatever forms or requirements or wealth or facilities the sentient beings may want. Like for those sentient beings who want to have drink, visualize you are sending for drink. For those sentient beings who want food, you visualize sending food. So in this way, whatever is required by the sentient beings, think that these elements of one's body are being transformed into the wish-grinding jhana and being sent forth in those aspects of those things. Shantideva, the great master Shantideva has said what in meaning goes like for those who don't have a protector and who want protector, one wish lies sending forth protector, and for those who don't have navigator who leads their sea voyage to different places, one thing then one that one is sending forth navigators and captains, and also for those sentient beings who need bridge to cross rivers, creeks, and so forth. You wish like that you are sending for bridges to them. So whatever is needed by the sentient beings, wish like the same is being sent forth by you. One can also send for islands for those people who want island, and food for people who want food, and servants for people who want servant, and lamp or light for people who want light, and witch grinding games for people who want game, and witch grinding tree for people who want witch grinding tree. And these are being sent for not just for a day or for a short duration. One thing that one is sending for, so that these sentient beings remain enjoying that for forever. So in meaning it says like one does the sending of these things for sentient beings to enjoy forever. And this is not being, these are not being sent forth to limited numbers of sentient beings. One actually sent for these to countless, unlimited, all sentient beings, and think that even to each particular one sentient being, one visualized sending for countless number of things, whatever the sentient being wants to have. It's possible some practitioner might do the giving to some sentient being and do not send forth to other sentient beings. And also it's possible some practitioner might do the giving to some sentient being very little and to some too much. And if one does that, then that's normally called by the term partial lojong, lojong choreva, partial thought training. So one can do the sending or giving practice firstly with the are sentient beings who are in what's called hell, normally translated as hell. So one can do what's called giving to those sentient beings in the hell realm, because they have so many intense what's called sufferings of heat and cold, and require so many what's called warmth and what's called breeze and so forth. And after that is finished, or when that becomes quite well, then do this giving practice to sentient beings who are in what's normally called hungry ghost realm. Because hungry ghosts, even though they are mentally quite intelligent, but still they have a whole lot of suffering, so not having enough food, not having enough drink. Therefore, one visualizes giving or whatever is required by sentient beings in that realm. And after that, one do the giving to sentient beings in animal realm, because animals are normally very stupid, especially in terms of not having even a slight, even a moment's understanding or hearing or contact with Dharma. Therefore, one does the giving practice in relation to sentient beings and animals, and after that to anti-gods and gods. And each of them, they have a whole lot of many things they require. So with that, the practice covers the giving of the body, and also it somehow covers the practice of giving of wealth as well. And now will be the practice, how to do the practice of giving of the roots of merits or roots or the sources of virtue. And so now we have to send for our virtues or merits. So regarding sending for or giving virtues, it is of two kinds. Giving virtues to the sentient beings who have entered the path, and giving virtues or merits to sentient beings who haven't entered the path, the path, spiritual path. So with this first work of sending of the virtue is to the sentient beings who haven't entered the path. So to them, one sends forth one's virtues or deposits or good actions, merits, in the form of the white light, which in nature one thinks one's merit, and also one thinks it's in nature a nectar, and it's in nature very blissful. So this white light with those features of one's virtue, blissful and nectared, one visualizes being sending forth, and think that the mere touch of that white light to the sentient beings completely generates the virtues within the sentient beings' mind streams, like the 10 virtuous actions and 10 non-virtuous actions, So in meaning saying, because of the mere touch of the white light, think that it brings sentient beings' minds so pure that they abide in the practice of the 10 virtuous actions and avoid doing the 10 non-virtuous actions, and also they are very much now engaged in the practice of what is called three higher training in morality, in concentration, and in wisdom, and now think they all become so good. And at the end, one also thinks that whatever they're going to practice, the Dharma is with them. Means they now receive Dharma, and the teacher or Lama who shows the Dharma, one thinks they are these sentient beings have received, and also companions, the Sangha, who help the sentient being to make progress on the path, think that now all these sentient beings have received all those three as well, with that walk of light. So that's with the sentient beings of a human category, and regarding especially with the hell realms, which are the cause, the sentient beings in the hell realms have intense suffering of special, or cold, because they have special intense suffering of heat and cold. One can visualize the white light in the aspect of nectar, and for those in the hell realm who are of intense heat suffering, one visualizes sending forth cool breeze and cool sensation to them, and for those who are with intense cold, one thing sending forth this light and nectar, bringing warmth to the sentient being. And those in the animal realms, they are normally very stupid, and because they are very stupid, one thing that the sending forth of the light brings to the sentient beings in the animal realms are special wisdom, which makes them able to understand the path and so forth. And those sentient beings in the hungry ghost realm, they are normally especially being tormented by sufferings of intense thirst and hunger. So one thinks the sending forth of light bringing relief from hunger and thirst. And sentient beings in the god or devil realm, normally they are in situations where they are with excessive material wealth and comfort, that they never have the thought of what is normally called renunciation, thought seeing the faults of samsara. So they never have that thought of seeing the fault in samsara, and also they never have the thought interested in the liberation free of samsaric sufferings, and also because of excessive material comfort and what call distraction, they never has opportunity to generate precious bodhicitta. So to the Devaram, to the sentient beings in the Devaram, one thing sending forth light which brings the renunciation, interest in liberation, and bodhicitta mind within their minds. And regarding the practice of giving to those sentient beings who have already entered the path, so for them, when one does the practice, normally, of course, the situation is that these sentient beings who have already entered the path, they are very much engaged, and they all the time, they are very diligent and strive so much in trying to make progress on the path and trying to generate realizations of the spiritual grounds and paths. So because that.